Advent. The ideas that we may just want to have on Advent, if we look at this word from its origin in Latin, Adventus, simply meaning coming. In Greek, parousia, coming. Who is coming? What are they coming for? We have waited for visitors to come. We have expected visitors to come. In our own way, we do things at home if we are preparing for some visitors, depending on who they are. That's why I'm also raising who is coming. What are they coming for? So Advent is that season again in our Christian calendar of waiting, of anticipating, of preparing. But for the first Advent, it was waiting for the coming, the birth of Christ. Our theme here for this year, light the way of hope. So for a people, the Jewish people, who had their issues with God, they could not solve their issues. They had no solution to their troubles. So for them, they were a people waiting for a Messiah. Waiting. Because in their Jewish teaching and understanding, they were looking forward to, they were hoping for a Messiah who would come to rescue them, who would come to save them. So as a people, they were just in waiting. So the prophets, one after the other, they would come to deliver messages of promises from God to say, Israel, do not be discouraged. Just keep on waiting. Just keep on hoping a Messiah shall come to deliver you from bondage, from oppression. So our theme here, light the way of hope. So you'll see the four red candles and the white one, the fifth one. Our theme is light, the way of hope. So the first light will symbolize hope. That Christ's coming, the birth of Christ, for us, it symbolizes one who brings hope in our lives. And followed by the second one, which will represent his coming to bring peace. He will come to bring love. He will come to bring joy. And the fifth one, the Christmas candle, that will represent himself, Christ, the light of the world. So with these symbols in your mind, it's just to help all of us to have an appreciation, you know, a picture of Advent. We are waiting. So these candles, at least this one today, it has happened. So, but for these three, they will be waiting. This one is waiting for next. I don't know what order, but at least one of them is waiting for its turn. Second Advent, third Advent, fourth Advent, until Christ, the Christmas light, Christ, the light of the world, is here with us. Christ is born, waiting. Waiting, sometimes I was having a chat with the breakfast guys there, the Advent breakfast in the morning. I was just saying, waiting, sometimes waiting is not an easy thing. Waiting requires a lot of patience, some discipline in it, hope and trust, you know, to wait. As a little boy, I lived a cycle of waiting, you know, with my siblings, with my brothers. You know, sometimes I was very naughty, you know, I would pick, you know, quarrels and fights with my elder brothers. And you know what? They'll say, okay, we'll wait until mommy goes away. They would wait until mommy goes away. And when mommy is away, I'll be in a fix. I'll be really in a fix. And on my turn, I would also wait and say, okay, wait until mommy comes. I'll be waiting for mommy to come back so that I give my report that in your absence, this is what they did to me. So it was that, like that cycle. So when mommy, you know what we do? It's not done here. So mommy would do that to them, yeah? And they would then say, okay, we'll also wait until she goes. So it was a cycle of waiting. So, you know, waiting. Advent today. So the first Advent, friends, it happened 2,000 years ago. Because eventually Christ was born. The first Advent has already occurred. Christ was born. He lived, he grew amongst us, he taught, he preached, he did everything that he did. But now for today, Advent symbolizes the present situation of the church. A church that is waiting for the second coming of the Lord. The second coming of Christ. Christ shall come again. Because that's what he said in John chapter 14. Do not be discouraged, guys. Be comforted in this. Because you see, when Christ was going to die, they were all devastated. Our master is going. Our Lord is going. What shall we be? What are we going to be when Christ is no more? So Christ is saying, no, it's okay. Let me go to the Father. But I will come again. And when I come, I'll take each one of you. So that where I am, you will also be with me. So for us as Christians, we hold on to that promise. Friends, you know, sometimes we move in the promises of God. That's what one thing that we also need to connect to our faith. Because we move and we live in the promises of God. So Jesus says, I will come. So the church today is in a situation of waiting. Waiting for the coming of the Lord. When Christ comes back, and when his bride, the church, joins in celebration with him. For those that are studying the book of Revelation, and any one of you is invited to study, you know, Bible, the book of Revelation. You know, Christ, we have an image of Christ as the groom who comes to meet with his bride. And there will be such a celebration. I can't wait for that celebration. We have been all, sometimes we have been invited to parties, weddings, whatever parties. You know, you sometimes you feel, I can't wait for that occasion. I can't wait. So this is the taste. This is the feel when Christ says, I will come again to be with you. So that where I am, you will be with me. So this is one other promise. Where he is, we shall be. They say, Maranatha. Lord, come again. Maranatha. Lord, come again. So this is for us as Christians. So Advent for us is waiting, anticipating, preparing for his coming so that we rejoice and celebrate with our Lord. The hymn that we've just sung, O come, Emmanuel. It represents the church's cry during the Advent season. This hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. So it is a song. It is a hymn. A cry for the church. O come. Some people associate the coming of Christ with the end of the world. Oh, so if everything comes to an end, what is going to happen to my businesses? What is going to happen to my cars, my fleet? People have fleet of cars. What is going to happen? No. For some, we are saying, Lord, come. Maranatha. Lord, come. However, it is not in our powers because we cannot manipulate him. We cannot pull him down. But what I know for sure is he is coming. Amen. Yes, that is for sure. We are ready. We are not. We like it. We don't like it. But for sure, the Lord shall come. So what is our business here? Our business is to be prepared for his coming. Today, all the three lectionary lessons, Isaiah, Romans, Matthew, they're talking of the same thing. He shall come. And when he comes, he brings light. The light that drives away darkness. And what do? We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. That's the message Isaiah was prophesying. We shall have a slide so that we understand, because I'm going to focus much on Isaiah. Isaiah's prophets. Isaiah, he is calling the people of God to turn from their lives of sin. He is warning them of God's judgment and punishment. Because of their disobedience, because of their rebellion, you know, Israel has come to a point where they have rebelled against God. If you read there, that's Isaiah 1. You just want to have a background of what is happening. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, for the Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, the donkey its owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Friends, I call that a hopeless situation. That is a hopeless situation. Where the people of God have turned against God. They have rebelled against their creator. The state of affairs here is unredeemable. Unredeemable. Where God is regretting. You know, it's like God standing out there. I'm just visual, imagining standing somewhere there. Please come and see. Please come and look what's happening. Please come and see what's happening with my people. I am their God. Because you see, it's coming from a covenant which had been made. I will be your God and you'll be my people. So here is a people who have cut that covenant. God is calling anyone. Please come, earth, come. Come and see. Come and see what's happening here. The state of affairs is unredeemable. It is a hopeless situation. And in this, if you go on to verse 18, God says, I have nothing to do with your offerings. I have nothing to do with your prayers. Everything that Israel was doing at that time is detestable. It is detestable. God says in verse 18, I will hide my face from you. I will hide my face from you. The worst thing that you'd ever want to happen to you is God to turn his face against you. That would be the worst thing for God to do, to turn his face against each one of us. But yet he is still a God of mercy, a God of compassion, a God of love. That is Israel's situation. The people of God have turned against God. God has withdrawn from them. God has pulled out. If God can pull out of your life, if God can withdraw from your activity, you know, we do things. I know of people who do things and they succeed. Please don't envy them. Some of them don't envy them. Because some people say, oh, but look at them. They are evil. They don't go to church. They don't pray. They don't worship. But look, they are successful. Yes, they are successful. But don't ever envy them. You can succeed, but when God is not in your things, when God is not involved in your activity, I don't know. God is God. It is in Him. It is with Him. It is through Him that we live, that we can survive. Amen. I don't know if that is part of your nature, but well, I come from that background. So that we are together. Just an amen. So what we are saying is, what do you see here? Where God has withdrawn. Friends, when we talk of Advent, we are talking where our positions, our situations, where God is like, everything is like dim. We are saying, oh, come, Emmanuel. Please come in our lives. Oh, Lord, come in our lives. Because on our own, we are vulnerable. We are weak. We cannot do anything. Lord, come. That's Advent. Lord, come. So that's Israel. When they are in the dark, God has, you know, actually, if you read very well, the book of Isaiah, the punishment and the judgment was they were then attacked by Assyria. And they were then under the Assyrian Empire. The people of God under Assyria. So they are in waiting to say, Lord, now we need the Messiah to come and redeem us. We need the Messiah to come and lift us up from the mud. Let's see the next slide. To be redeemed from our situations. Sometimes we are in the mud. Our own situation sometimes where we are helpless. What do you see in red? What's happening around us? Do you see clearly enough? Yes, anything that you see in red. What do you see? Fires, yes, that's happening in the world, yeah? Earthquakes. Brexit is around us. Wars, floods. So what do you see as helpless there or as hopeless? What do you see? Huh? Because okay, if somebody has been attacked or whatever, then an ambulance comes, then quickly they are rushing them to the hospital. That's fine, yeah? Quickly they'll be taken to hospital in an ambulance. Is that what you see? Quickly. Urgently. The agents of the ambulance. Do you see the agents of the ambulance? Can you see the agents of the ambulance? You know, we are in situations where we think we can fix things, but still we cannot fix anything. Imagine yourself in that ambulance which cannot take you as urgently or as quickly as you need to be at the, you know, health center. Because the ambulance is also being assisted. I thought you noted that. Because here, the ambulance should take me quickly to the hospital. But in this case, the ambulance also needs to be assisted. Advent. We find ourselves in situations where we think we can fix things. But our solution is God. Our solution is God. By the way, I think I've got something here with me. Our solution. Oh, does it? Yeah, somewhere there. You see? In that bottom right. Our solution is God. We can try things. We can attempt to do things in our own efforts, in our own initiatives. But until, what we're saying, oh, come, Emmanuel. Come in our lives. We are surrounded. Earthquakes, fires, floods, abuse, injustice, social injustice. Just think of anything that you want to think of. It's happening around us. Politicians, they have no answer. Mind you, they have no answer. They have no solution. They'll sit round the table. They'll sit in parliament. They debate. For me, some of those, they're just debates. But sometimes We need to get to a point where we say, now, Lord, we need you to intervene. We need you to interfere in our situation. Into the politics of this country, Lord, can you come in? Into the activities of our business, whether in company, wherever we are, Lord, can you come and intervene? And give us the light. Give us the light of the world. Light the way of hope. So sometimes we are in such situations, hopeless situations, and on our own, we cannot do anything. We need Christ's light to come and shine in the dark. Let's have the next slide, please. So what do we see? God's love in the midst of your personal pain. In the midst of your personal pain. You see, when you are in pain, pain is something that can cause people to lose heart, to lose courage, to lose their faith, and to lose their trust. Someone will tell you that, I'm in so much pain. I have tried everything. I've been to the doctors. I've done everything I can. I've taken medication. I've done everything. Pain. See, in the midst of your personal pain, whatever distress, whatever it is, that eats your heart. Because we move, we walk, we do things, but sometimes there are things that eat up our heart so much that we lose faith. But in the midst of that, God is saying, look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. I am coming soon. That is the prophet from Isaiah at the mountain of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 2, the verse that we read, verses 2. At the mountain of the Lord. The mountain of the Lord, which is Zion, which is Jerusalem. It is representing, it is symbolizing the new Jerusalem, the new church when Christ comes. So when Christ comes, what does he do? He establishes a kingdom. He establishes a new dispensation. And things will not be the same. Things will not be the same. When Christ comes, he reverses that order. From the book of Genesis, out of darkness, he created light. No, he reverses the order. And he brings comfort. Friends, Advent is about the coming. It's about one who comes. One who is coming. And when he comes, he establishes his kingdom to bring comfort, to bring deliverance, to bring restoration, and to bring peace. Wouldn't you want to identify with those that are waiting for one such a king who comes to give us this comfort? Because it's about him. And when he comes to give comfort and deliverance, he takes away, he removes all our issues and gives us hope. Let's look at the next slide. Our failures, our disappointments. There are people who have not been able to move in life because they've been at one time they've been disappointed. At one time they have failed in life. And they have not allowed themselves to move on in life. I'm speaking maybe to such that please there is hope. There's hope. People will live In their failures, I've tried that, I've failed, I can't do anything else. I don't think I'm able, I don't think I can. You just need that lift of a hope. There is hope. Whatever disappointments, whatever failures, Isaiah 2 verse 4, he said, they will beat their swords into plows. A sword is a weapon that is used in war. To fight, to kill, to destroy, to attack. But here, I'm talking about God who can reverse things, who can give a new order. These instruments of war. Now a plow. You know a plow? You know a plow. If you do. What it does, it's product, it is productive. It brings food. It brings life and energy. That's what God can do. All our frustrations, our despairs, our distresses, face them with hope. Face them with hope. And you know what you want to do? You want to ignore, you don't want to listen to what people will tell you about your failure. You are a failure. You cannot do anything. If people will not tell you, but there is a voice that will whisper that to you, into you, you can't do anything. You are nothing. Don't listen to that voice. You want to give yourself hope that, yes, I can. Hope, in Hebrew understanding, hope is a sense of expectation that God's answer is coming based on the promises of God. God's answer is coming. I don't care how long it is going to take. I don't care what situation, but what I know is God is going to do something. God is going to provide an answer. That's hope. I know for sure. I believe and I trust. God is not going to be silent. God is not going to be quiet. He's going to do something. Let's look at the next slide. And when what he's going to do, what I know is that lost hope, he'll give it back to you. That lost hope, he'll give it back to you. You'll be able to sing again. You'll be able to smile again. And you'll be able to attempt to do new things. To attempt. I'm not saying you'll be able to do, but at least to attempt. Because for me, the spirit is about attempting to do something. That's the beginning of everything. I think I'll try. I've heard somebody, oh, can you do this? Even when I know that I can't, but I'll just tell myself, I think I'll give it a try. I think I'll give it a try. No, that's the beginning of things. Lost hope. God will give it back to you. And you'll be what God meant you to be. So in those faint, that's Isaiah 40 verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. That's the spirit of hope. And when hope is in us, the hope that is anchored in God, then God will kindle a light in our lives. A light in me, then I alight my brother, he alights the sister. Everybody, we are set on fire. We have all the flames. We all have the flame of the love, of the grace of God. May God give you hope this morning as we wait. There is hope for you. The God of all hope will light up your darkness. Will light up your darkness. Please, we are all of us, we are not perfect. We are not perfect. But we have seen what God can do, even with the worst people. Moses himself, he is a murderer. He runs away from Egypt. But God pulls him and God uses him mightily for great things. So there is hope for you. There is hope for me. That's what God can do. David, you know the story of David and Bathsheba. David sends Uriah to go and die. But God uses David mightily. You know what God did with Paul? Paul, a persecutor, a killer of the Christian church, but God uses such people. So I'm saying, for me, hope is there for you and for me. Hope is there for you and for me. Oh, my soul, hope thou in God. My soul, hope thou in God. And I'll be able to sing, oh, come, Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel. There is hope for all of us, and so God bless you. When hope is there for us, we'll be able to walk in the light. To walk in the light also requires for us to come to God, to be renewed in our minds, to be renewed in our ways, so that we walk as a people of the light. God bless you. Amen.